You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
DetroitLions.com writer Michael Hara joins us here on this 97.1 The Ticket podcast. Doug Karsh along with Mike. And let's just start with what was the biggest news, maybe in the NFL last week. Taylor Decker out with a shoulder, 4 to 6 months. On a scale of 1 to 10, I put this at a 7 as far as its impact on the coming season. I think this is pretty big, and I don't know, man. I don't know how you replace this guy, Mike.
Well, you don't replace him man for man. You're going to have to find a way to do it. But, you know, just back up a little bit. You know, I was talking to just a couple of the guys here on the beat. I think it was one day last week or whatever. And, you know, and except from the quarterback, what would be the biggest injury loss on the team? This was before Decker got hurt. Everybody said the same thing, the left tackle. I mean, some guys might have said Slay or whatever, but the left tackle, because of the resources the Detroit Lions have put into the offensive line the last 2 years in terms of draft picks and free agent signings. But the other part of that is, you know, the 4 to 6, that's been reported. It's never been confirmed by the Detroit Lions. And yesterday in his media session, Matthew Stafford shed a little optimism on that. He said the guy's not dead yet. It was a pretty good line. And he said he's going to play a lot of football. So I kind of got a feeling that maybe, and who knows, okay, this is Dr. O'Hara talking, maybe he might be back sooner than we think. But they either need him or find a way to work around it.
I remember there's some enthusiasm coming out of the coaching staff last year regarding Joe Dahl. Are you getting the sense that he has the inside track to be the temporary replacement?
I would think so. You know, he played a lot of tackle in college, but he was drafted as a guard. And Bob Quinn, the general manager, when they drafted him, he said flat out he's a guard. You know, I think he played, you know, maybe 20 snaps last year on the offensive line in relief late in the season. And, you know, it's certainly not, as people call that, a big sample size. But, you know, you take it for what it is. And I think they were 20 pretty encouraging, you know, pretty encouraging plays. Now, it's a different thing out there on the island at left tackle. It really is. It's when somebody comes around the corner on you, if you give them the swing and gate, we've seen what happens to quarterbacks when they get blindsided. Go back to opening day of 2010 in Chicago. If somebody gets a free run on the quarterback, it can change a team and a season and sometimes a career. And so it's a very, very important position. And, you know, whether Joe Dahl can do it, we'll see. But he's not built like the classic left tackle. If you line them up just physically next to to Taylor Decker, they don't look the same. But a lot of guys find a way to compensate for their physical stature, so we'll see.
As far as young players that have stood out in minicamp, we've heard a lot about Galladay, Jared Davis. Who has stood out in your eyes?
Oh, Jared Davis, absolutely. You know, in fact, I talked to Elodie Nada over the weekend at Sam Martin's event, his charity softball game at Ed Wayne State, and I just asked him, is this the real middle linebacker? And he says, the kid's got everything. He's smart, and plus he's smart. And, you know, this isn't football, but I was just watching him out there on the softball diamond catching ground balls. He looked like a second baseman. And by that, I mean he had agility, you know, he had bend, hands, vision, timing. He just looked like a natural athlete. Now, well, catching a softball, catching, you know, hot ground balls on a softball diamond doesn't make you a middle linebacker, but I think he has that now. I'm not projecting him as the next, you know, Mike Singletary in the NFC North or anything like that, but they you know, just like Taylor Decker last year, where they made him the left tackle from the first day of rookie minicamp, same thing with Jared Davis. He was the middle linebacker from the day that the rookies, you know, stepped on the field. There's no phony competition or anything like that. He was drafted to play a position. He's taken every rep there at middle linebacker.
Any other young players standing out in your mind?
Well, you know, it's, you know, some of it's kind of hard. I teased DeBoer. Just watch him do some drills. This guy's got terrific ball skills. He really is. Just natural hands. The ball sticks to his hands. And, you know, we'll see about, you know, speed. You know, I think you need it at cornerback. There are other ways to compensate for it. I mean, I go back and look at history. Guys like Everson Walls, who couldn't get drafted because they couldn't run, and 55 career interceptions later, he's a Hall of Fame, you know, nominee and all that. I'm not putting him on that level at all, but he just has natural hands. I mean, down the list, a guy I really like is Jamal Agnew. You know, smaller guy, 5'10", 185 from University of San Diego, but just a great pair of hands. He catches. I was watching him, Doug, in a punting drill the other day in the wind, and it was nothing to him at all. And I remember a couple of scouts telling me that for defensive backs, if they have a baseball background, it's really a plus for them because of tracking the ball and, you know, things like that. And I asked him, "Hey, you played baseball coming up. It was his number one sport." And he's just sort of got it. Now we'll see if he can, you know, overcome a size differential to make the roster, first of all, and then will he be a punt returner? Will he be a nickelback? You know, we'll see. You know, there's still a long climb for him, but I think just from what I saw, I was encouraged at that level of a draft pick for what he might become.
Do you expect that Matthew Stafford will sign a contract extension this offseason?
Well, I think he will, but on a scale of 1 to 100 of how much it bothers him, I think it's probably a minus 3. I mean, first of all, the guy's made a lot of money. Everybody knows that. He's made up, 100 and some mil. And he is one of the sharpest, coolest, compartmentalizing guys of letting things roll off of any athlete I've covered. This is not hyperbole or anything. It's just the way he's wired. He looks at what he's doing, and the rest of the stuff doesn't bother him. So I think he will, but I don't think it's a major issue with him. If he doesn't, then the Lions will franchise him next year. He's just going to be a Lion for a long time.
What about Golden Tate and his talk of extension?
Well, he said, you know, but that's a couple of years away. You know, is he underpaid? I don't know. You match him up with Julian Edelman. Is he underpaid compared to Julian Edelman? Yeah, probably not. He's already made his money. Edelman's just starting to make it. So yeah, we'll see.
What about Marvin Jones? Word that he worked out with Randy Moss in the offseason, yeah, and looks better.
Yeah, he really does. You know, he had at the end of last season, and you know, in the locker room on closeout there, he said he played, you know, played poorly, wasn't happy with the way he played. And you know, for all the heat that Randy Moss takes about some antics on the field, in the locker room, he is a smart, smart football player. You know, when Scott Linehan was here, you know, the old offensive coordinator now with Dallas, I just talking like I'm talking to you right now, I asked him, what was Randy Moss like when you had him in Minnesota? He said he was quiet, he was super smart, and he took absolutely detailed notes in the meetings. That's not a side that, you know, it's really presented itself, you know, in public with Randy Moss. And so, look, his production, his ability, undeniable. And from everything I've ever heard about him, you know, as a player, a very, very just naturally smart player and a student of the game. So, you know, in fact, I was listening to the interview again just, you know, 20 minutes ago with Marvin Jones. And look, if you want to learn to play the position, learn from the best.
Eric Ebron, whenever the Lions come up as a topic, he's a player that fans want to talk about. Where is he in his career? Do you sense that there's a light that's gone on, or is Eric Ebron what he's going to be?
Well, Eric Ebron likes to talk about Eric Ebron, too. And look, he's a good kid and all that. And I think he'll always be kind of what he is. Or I think when the day he retires in the 10 more years, we'll still be wondering, will he still need to grow up a little bit? But, you know, the issue with him is not the plays he makes, it's the plays he doesn't make. And this isn't probably not a perfect ratio or anything, but I think he would, like, say he had 60 catches last year and 9 drops, okay? If this year he has, say, 65 catches and 4 drops, that's a better year. I mean, his ability is undeniable, but his consistency is deniable. And I just think if he's more consistent, he's a real weapon because he can run, he's strong, and he's absolutely fearless going over the middle. And he'll double coverage, good safety, ready to, you know, take his head off, never flinches. So, you know, what they can get out of him, you know, he's a talented player. He just has to be more consistent, and I think he will be. It's a very important year for him. In a lot of ways, fourth year, going into a contract year, next year, you know, option, all that stuff that's been picked up. It's just a big year, and I think we'll see. He's got to prove it on the field.
Final thing for you, backup quarterbacks. Any observations so far in minicamp?
Well, two young guys. It's, you know, in fact, I made a note of this in one of my columns a couple of weeks ago. This is the first time I can remember in ages, decades, that they'll have a backup quarterback who's never thrown a pass in an NFL game. And, you know, Stafford's been, you know, absolutely, you know, rock solid, healthy now for 6 straight years. He's taken some seasons every snap. He started all, you know, 96 regular season games, 3 in the playoffs and all that. So I expect him to hang in there, but they certainly, I don't see the next Matthew Stafford between Brad Kaye and Jake Rudock. But, you know, barring anything else, I think one of those two guys will be the backup. unless they both just completely flap in training camp, and then they reel Danny Orlovsky back in, you know, to be the veteran backup.
Michael Herrod, DetroitLions.com. Appreciate your time as always. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.